you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and purpose. Father, we thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father, we just thank you. Help us to be not just hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of the word. Help us to go out into the highways and the byways and find the people who are down and out and needs to hear about the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ, and help us to share that with them. Father, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this generation, revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability. You be lifted up. We thank you, Father, that today as we minister, that they will not see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, and give us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, most importantly, we thank you for your anointing. Your anointing that's here, that your anointing that changes us, your anointing that just helps us and leads us and guides us. That anointing that heals us, that anointing that sets us free. We thank you, Father, that anointing is here tonight, and we walk into it. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad. We thank you as they're taking a few days off. We thank you for helping them be able to rest and relax and get back to the way they need to be. And we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. While you're sitting down, Greg told me he forgot to make one announcement. We need a few folks to help us out after service tonight for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And we're going to bring some tables in here so that way we can do it this week instead of having to do it next week early. So if you would want to help out, if you want to just, you know, help for 15, 20 minutes or to bring some tables and stuff in this room, and I'll also get rid of the chairs. I mean, not get rid of them. We're not going to give them away or anything like that. Just move them to another location. Amen. Amen. Well, some of you, if you read my Facebook post or saw me this morning online, I just really felt led that we're going to have a healing service tonight. Now, we always do minister to the sick each and every time, but we're going to tailor the service tonight just to be for faith and healing. Amen. And as I've been looking at my Facebook feed for the last couple of weeks, I've noticed the devil's winning in a lot of people's lives. There are a lot of people that have been sick, a lot of people talking about how they've come down with the flu or this or that and everything else. And I know hospitals are full. I mean, the urgent care centers are full. And, you know, I'm not trying to glorify the flu, but a lot of people are getting it right now. A lot of people are being sick. Now, the Bible tells us, and Jesus told us in you know, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one way he tries to destroy our life is getting the sick. Now, you know, if you're not sick, that's great. That's awesome. But tonight, we're going to minister just a basic faith and healing service so that way to know what to do when the devil tries to come for you. You know, whenever he tries to come and put a sickness and disease on you, you know what to do. And we're going to read from Mark chapter 5. And it's one of my grandfather's scriptures that he used quite a bit about the one with the issue of blood. I've heard it over and over and over again. You know, it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, one way to build our faith is to continually hear the word of God. I know someone asked my grandfather one time, and like I said, he preached on faith from the day he was saved to the day he went home to be with the Lord. And someone asked him, said, well, Brother Hagin, when are you going to stop preaching so much on faith? He says, well, when you get it. And that's the thing. See, you know, faith doesn't come by having heard, it comes by hearing. Continue to hear. And I have found out that, you know, fourth term of the school there in Tulsa, I have a great opportunity to minister on the subject of faith. You know, I have a faith library class. And I've noticed during that fourth term, I stay built up on faith because the more I teach on it, the greater faith I have. And I noticed, too, that the more I begin to look at these scriptures, the more I get from them. I mean, you would think, well, you know, how can you get anything else? I mean you know, surely you've read it enough, but you know, it's you know, sometimes the Lord just enlightens you in just a different way. You see it from a little different angle than you saw it before. And it's just, you know, so awesome to see how good our God really is. Amen. So Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" So, you know, that's kind of the story. That's what went on. Now, notice this woman had had a blood disease for 12 years, so for quite some time. And, you know, it said that she had went to many physicians. She went to the doctor, and, you know, she's done everything she could do in the natural, and they couldn't help her. You know, and my grandfather, many of you know his story, that he was born with a deformed heart and a blood disease, and whenever he became 16, he became bedfast and was given up to die. But praise God, God performed a miracle in his life, and praise God, he was, you know, he got off the deathbed and began preaching the gospel. And but the doctor told him, he said, you know, if your heart was completely normal, the blood disease alone would eventually kill you. And so, you know, the blood disease is very serious. And, you know, this woman, having it for 12 years, I'm assuming that she was nearing death. I'm assuming that she was probably weak. I know she was frustrated. I mean, you know and I know, if you go to all these doctors and they don't know how to help you and they tell you all these, you know, weird remedies, and you put on Facebook and all these, your Facebook friends have other weird remedies, you know, and trying to tell you, well, if you do this, if you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around and you're going to get healed. But, I know everybody has, well, if you do this and you do that, I mean, you know, trust me, I get weight loss things all the time in my inbox. People trying to tell me all the different things. I found out the best way to weight loss is actually eating less and working out more. It actually works. All right. Now, the thing is, doing it is also a real important part. All right. I know everybody has their little pill and their little, you know, vitamins and things. Nothing wrong with vitamins and pills, except for they're kind of expensive sometimes. Anyway, but let's look at what was going on. In fact, you know, some of us don't even realize, if we go back to Mark chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Now when Jesus crossed over again by boat to the other side, you know, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus, or however you pronounce his name. I don't really know. Doesn't really matter. His name is not that important. But anyway, he came to see Jesus, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." And then it goes on to about now a certain woman. So understand that Jesus wasn't holding a meeting at some Colosseum somewhere. He wasn't standing at the street corner preaching. He was actually on his way to go to Jairus' house to minister to his daughter. So really understand, he was a moving target. You know, it's a whole lot harder to hit a moving target than it is to hit one that's steel. So this woman, when she said, "I may touch but his clothes," she had to, you know, not only she had to say it, but she had to go out and do it. All right? And now, sometimes we don't realize this because we don't realize what it was really like. I mean, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if your age predates electricity. I don't care if that you had a path out back, you know, where you went to the stall and I don't care if you didn't have running water or anything. You still don't know what went on in Jesus' times. All right? I understand some of you here, maybe you predated TV and maybe radio. I don't know. But the thing about it is, nowadays, when someone's going to come, to your city, we know about it. And in fact, nowadays, with social media, we not only know they're coming, we actually can follow them as they travel. You know, whether they come by bus, like some big tour bus or whatever. Well, it was just like we just had a presidential election, and they were touring the country, the different candidates, and we would know when they left. We would know when they got to the next city. We would know when they're flying in the airplane. We know when they're sleeping, know when they're awake. We don't know if they're bad or good, but anyway. But we knew everything about it because we have like 24-hour media now. But, you realize that when Jesus, was going to cross the lake, he didn't tweet to somebody, say, "Hey, guys, we're coming over to your city." You realize that he didn't text people. He didn't call people. Whenever you, now, a lot of you here understand what it's like not to have a cell phone with you 24/7. When I was a kid and a summer day, and I would usually, my day consisted of this. I wake up in the morning, I would eat breakfast, I would tell my mom bye, and I came back at dinner. I would tell her where I was going to go or what I was planning on doing. I did that most of the time, but sometimes, I go over to one guy's house and you say, "Hey, let's go over to this guy's house," there's no tracker that was tracking me or anything like that. And so that's just the way it is. But the thing about it is, think about this. Jesus, if it's one thing to say, if I just touch but his clothes, another thing to find Jesus. Knowing when he's going to come to town, knowing that he's going to be there by the lake. Getting the rumors. It's not like that, we've had telephones for a long time. Maybe we haven't had cell phones for a long time, but we've actually had telephones where people could call. It might be long distance, but you could call and say, "Hey, Jesus was in our town last night, but he's going to be there tomorrow." But it's a whole lot harder than it was now. And we can't really fathom. I don't care, if you came to Oklahoma on a covered wagon, I don't care if you were in the land run. I know one of my third grade teacher, she was on the back of the wagon in the land run. She actually was not a Sooner. She wasn't a cheater. She was a Boomer. All right. The Sooners are cheaters. You didn't know that, right? I always wondering why they kept that nickname Sooner. You realize some of you don't know the whole story. The land run is they actually fired a gun and everyone's going to go stake out their land, basically go steal the Indians' land. That's really what they did. Because we gave it to the Indians earlier, but then we took it away from them. That's where we get the term Indian giver. Some of you might not know. It's not about the Indians. It's about the white folks who stole the Indian stuff. All right. But the Sooners are the ones that will stake their land up before the gun went off, all right? Thus, OU decided to use that for their nickname. Sooners mean cheaters. I wouldn't say cheaters ever prosper, but they won a lot of national championships, so, I guess they prosper now. Anyway, I'm just joking, by the way. I went to Oklahoma State, so. But, I will say, I will admit, all my life I grew up an OU Sooner fan, so. I just happened to go to Oklahoma State because I had a better accounting school. So that was really the only reason. So really, it was tough for me to start rooting for OSU. I'm just really telling you the truth now, whether they're Sooners or Boomers or whatever they are. But, nowadays when someone's going to come, if you're listening to the radio, all of a sudden you hear something like, "Come one, come all this weekend at the Oklahoma City Chesapeake Center. Jesus Christ is coming. Be sure to bring your friends, your loved ones, your enemies, and everybody else that needs healing. Jesus is going to be there. Come on and be there and have a wonderful time." Or whatever, or they're like, "Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Jesus Christ will be showing up at the county fairgrounds." Or, we have those kind of things, but back... Back then, they didn't have that, all right? So this woman had to find Jesus. Now, I was actually been reading, and I really don't know. I mean, you know, obviously she had heard of Jesus, because it said, that's what the Bible says. She had heard of Jesus. And when she had heard of Jesus, obviously she hadn't seen Jesus, because I'm assuming if she would have saw Jesus, she would already been healed. But when she heard of Jesus, she said with her mouth, "If I just touch his clothes, I shall be healed." Now, I don't find a record of anybody else saying those kind of things and doing those kind of things. We find a record of people coming to Jesus and him laying hands on them. We find a record of them coming to Jesus and he speaking. We have find a record of coming to Jesus and him spitting on them or spitting in the clay. But we don't have any other record of someone just saying, "You know what? I'm just going to touch his clothes." I mean, I don't know where it came from, but you know, that's faith. I mean, she decided, you know what? If that power is good enough, it's good enough for me, I'm just going to go touch his clothes and I'll be healed. Now, we also have to understand this is Mark chapter 5. You know, Mark chapter 11, you know, we find out, we talk about that you can have whatever you say. But you know what? Mark chapter 5, we find out you can have what you say. Because she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And she went out and did it, and she got what she said, right? I believe that she believed what she said, or she wouldn't have went out and do it. I mean, she would have stopped right there. You know, many people say things but don't do it. Well, I would like to. But you know what? It's not like this. Some people say, you know, they'll have the mentality, well, I'll just try that Jesus out. I'll try it out. She wasn't trying out. She was going to get healed. Now, she had been for 12 years, gone to every doctor around that she could afford, and nobody ever did anything for her. But she was confident that if she just touched his clothes, she shall be whole. But there was a big problem with this. Is we, you know, sometimes we don't think about it, but the Gospels are all part of the Old Testament. Although it's in the New Testament, it's still part of the Old Covenant. Because the New Covenant wasn't established until Jesus Christ died. So before he died, I mean, we just have a bunch of good Jews. We don't have a bunch of good Christians. We have Jews. Well, the Jewish law says this, and if any of you have read the books of the law back in the Old Testament, you know, some of those fine books back there, and tell you, and I figured this out, you know, if you can, I figured this out as a young kid. I was like, whenever we were reading, we would read the Bible as a family every morning. We would take turns. Well, usually me and my sister, when we were younger, we never had to read the Old Testament, but we would read the New Testament or the Psalms and Proverbs or whatever. We use the 1 year Bible and we would read it through as a family and do it out loud every morning. And so, but you know, one day, whenever they started reading all the laws, and I heard the law about a blood disease, if you have a blood disease, then you are supposed to be quarantined from other people. Because at that time, they didn't know if your disease was contagious or not. It's kind of like whenever they kind of discovered AIDS back in the 80s, they didn't know. They thought if you touch somebody, you know, and that you have AIDS, then you're going to give them AIDS. It's kind of like whenever you were in first grade, and someone would say, "So-and-so has cooties." And if they touched you, you would get cooties too. I mean, so that was the mentality. If you had a blood disease, you cannot come around anybody. And you are required by law to be able to cry, "Unclean, unclean," basically stay away from me if someone comes close. So you understand that's kind of not going to work real well when a multitude of people are going to be around Jesus. So according to the law, she would have to go and tell everybody else, "Get away from me." According to the law, you're not supposed to go mingle with other people. You know, you can only mingle with other people who also had diseases. It was okay for you guys to hang out together, you know. But so really for her to actually go out and do this, she was not fulfilling the law. She was breaking the law. Now it was interesting. Like I said, I figured this out when I was a young child, as we read, you know, was old enough to understand, but, you know, and we were reading the Old Testament, we came across that. The first thing I thought of whenever I was thinking, heard about blood disease was the woman's issue of blood, because I've heard that story so many times, and I started thinking, you know, it hit me at a young age. You know, she wasn't even supposed to be there with the multitude of people around about her. You know, sometimes, you know, the Old Testament can bring to light some things happening in the New Testament. We don't even think about it. Sometimes some people don't even care. But, you know, but it changes the story a lot, because she was breaking the law. And it wasn't just breaking the law like being healed on the Sabbath. I mean, you know, we don't know if her blood disease was terminal or not, or if it was, you know, if she touched somebody, then they're going to get it or whatever. They didn't know. They didn't have, you know, what we have today. They didn't have all the medical terminology. They didn't have all the microscopes. They couldn't figure all that kind of stuff out. Now, a lot of people never think, some people just read the Bible and never think of this kind of stuff. I read the Bible and I think about everything. Every possible thing that could happen and does happen and maybe happen, you know, I think about, because I'm just a curious person. All right, call me Curious Craig. I don't know. I'm just real curious. In fact, I just do. I get curious. What went on? But you know, also too, I think about this. I try to a lot of times. I do this not just in the Bible times. I even do it in talking to people. When especially doing some counseling sessions or whatever, I try to put myself in their position. I try to figure out the best way possible to figure out if I was in their circumstances, you know, how would I feel? What would I do? You know, a lot of times we want to say, well, I would do things a whole lot different. Well, really, would you if you were in their circumstances with the information that they had? You know, and a lot of times you wouldn't do anything different. You would make the same mistakes that they made. You know, now sometimes maybe if you had a little more knowledge, you wouldn't make those mistakes. But, you know, that's why the Bible says that people perish for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. But I like to put myself in this lady's position. I mean, think about this. This lady's dying. Now, dying people do not want to hang out with a bunch of multitude of other people. Multitude's a lot. All right? We don't have a multitude today. All right, and even if we had all the chairs full, we still wouldn't have a multitude in here. Multitude is like, you know, nobody can move multitude. Nobody wants to be in a multitude of people. It's bad enough to be in a line at Disneyland or Disney World, you know, for a ride, much less a multitude of people. Nothing funner than going to Disney World in 106 degree, you know, Florida heat. You know, and wait in line with another, you know, 2 million other people. It's a blast. Kids love it. Anyway, as you get older, you're like, why did I do that? Because it's fun. All right. You know, and the thing about it is the ride lasts, you know, 2 minutes or whatever, and you waited 2 hours to ride the 2 minute ride. And that's a long one. So anyway, I like theme parks for whatever reason. I don't know why, because maybe I'm not very smart. Or I'm easily amused. I don't know. Or it's probably because I like to stand and watch people. I like to study what people do and how people react. And and there's no better place to watch people than Disney World or another theme park. Except for around Jesus, where the multitude of people, I'm sure there were people doing all kinds of stuff. If we can back up a camera around Jesus, I'm sure everyone's doing all kinds of things. But, you know, the one thing that most people are trying to do is just touch him. They just want to touch him. And they weren't touching him to get healed. They were touching him to so they can go home and put on Facebook, hey, I touched Jesus. You know, I know people who didn't vote for the president. I know people right now that didn't vote for President Trump that if they had an opportunity to get their picture made with him, they would. And they would put it on their social media. Because it's, you know, it's prestigious that you met somebody. Or you know, these people that, I know people that are name droppers. And if they meet anybody, they want to take your picture so that way they can have a picture of them. Or they want to say they shook someone's hand or whatever. But you know, this woman said with her mouth, if I just touch his clothes, I shall be healed. If I just touch his clothes. See, she was confident. She knew that all she had to do was just touch him. Even though, as far as we know, no one else, you know, had been like that. Nobody else, you know. In fact, Jairus, I mean, when he went, he said, you know, Jesus, you know, if you can just lay hands on my daughter, you know. But we also find about another story where the commander said, if you speak the word, my servant will be healed. You know, healing works in different ways. And a lot of it's really up to us how we receive it. Where is our faith? Is our faith in laying on of hands? Because one way, not the only way, but one way that the Lord ministers healing is through the laying on of hands. But he also ministers healing by you just asking. Now, here's something else. You know, when it says ask, now the Bible does say, you know, ask what you will and it shall be done. Understand it says ask what you will. It doesn't even say ask what God wills. Many people are trying to figure out, well, what's the will of God? Well, what's your will? Because that's what he wants to do, whatever your will is. You know, but it is, we all know the will of God is for you to be healed, because Jesus Christ took the stripes on his back. So it says, by his stripes we were healed. So we all know, if anyone ever comes and says, you know what, I'm suffering for Jesus, I'm bound to this wheelchair because I'm suffering for Jesus, we all know that they don't have good doctrine. I mean, simple doctrine, you know, is pretty easy to understand that's not God's will. When Jesus said that I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly, suffering is not abundant. Jesus Christ suffered for you. And so, you know, I know some people, because of some teaching that they've had as a kid or whatever, they think that they have to suffer. Or they think, well, I have to do this, or I have to do that, or I have to. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ, he did it all. He paid it all. You know, and unlike this woman, we don't have to go look for him to touch him. Wherever you are, if you're a born-again Christian, wherever you are, he is also. He's with you all the time, 24-7, 365. And if it's leap year, 366, he's with you every day of your life, every hour of your life. He's always there, ready, willing, and able to help you in your situation. But a lot of times, you know, and I understand, you know, a prayer is asking, ask what you will, it shall be done. But you have to understand, you're asking something that's already been done for you. All right? You're really, asking is not really asking. You're basically taking advantage of something you've been given. And the best example I got this morning was, you know, if I stood back at the door tonight, and when I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to stand by the door, I will do that, okay? This is the pretend part right here, okay? Remember Mr. Rogers, Electric Company, Sesame Street, the pretend, you know, or some of you, the old Barney, or whatever, you know, you had to pretend, you know, use your imagination. You have to understand that I haven't ever grown up, okay? Every time I think I'm going to grow up, I revert to being a kid again, okay? Because, you know, I watched all the children's shows when I was young. Then I had kids, they watched all the children's shows. Now I'm raising my granddaughter in my house, and we watch all the children's shows. So, you know, I still watch children's shows. And, you know, the interesting part about it is one time, you know, I was doing youth. I was the youth minister, and I had the distinct pleasure of actually speaking to the 6th grade through the 12th grade. You realize that 6th graders and 12th graders have nothing in common? But the one thing they did have in common was Sesame Street. I used illustrations from Sesame Street, and everybody understood it. And I always would joke. I say, I know some of you guys were watching this last week. You know, so anyway. But, you know, we learned to use imagination. So imagine that I'm back at the back door, and as you walk out, I hand everybody, that we're imagining this, not real, okay? I hand everybody a $100 Walmart gift card, all right? Now, I hope that none of you, after I handed it to you, would go to Walmart and go to the customer service and say, hey, can I use this here? I have a $100 gift card. Can I use it at Walmart? You know, I would think most of you would realize you can. Because you've been given, you know, by having a gift card gives me the authority to use it. All right, as long as I have it, you know, even if you stole the gift card, if I was to have a whole pile of gift cards sitting right here and some of you came and you borrowed my gift cards and now you have them in your possession, you could still go to Walmart and use them because you have the card. All right, and you know, as long as you're at Walmart, you can use it. And, you know, as long as you spend $100 or less, it's, you know, it's not going to cost anything. It already belongs to you. And that's kind of how healing is. You've already have the gift card. You have a healing gift card. You have other gift cards as well. Now, unlike our gift cards that we have, is if I gave you a Walmart gift card and you go to Kmart or Target, it's no good. You can't use the Kmart Target. Or say, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm going to go to Olive Garden. Well, you have to have an Olive Garden gift card. But see, with God, you don't need any more gift cards. You have everything you need. You don't have to go to the right place. You don't have to even go anywhere. See, with the Walmart gift card, it's only good if you go to Walmart or Sam's. You know, you have to actually go. With Jesus, you don't have to go anywhere. All you got to do is just call upon his name. And so when you're asking for healing or for anything, really what you're doing, you're saying, Lord, I'm invoking my gift card. Because it was a gift given to you on Calvary. It already belongs to you. Yes, you're asking, but it belongs to you. And, you know, it's like asking for something you already have. You already have it. And, you know, that's why it's so important. That's why my grandfather got a hold of Mark 11, where it says to speak to your mountain, to speak to your situation. And there are a lot of people that are trying to pray to their mountain. Or they're trying to give to their mountain. Or they're trying to fast for their mountain. But you need to come to a point, you need to say, you know what? In the name of Jesus, devil, you have no right. You have no authority. Sickness cannot live in my body. Or whatever else you need. Just speak to your situation. And I say it all the time, you know, the day and age that we live in, and people get sick, and that, you know, they go online, please pray for, nothing wrong with praying for people, nothing wrong with, but see, that prayer is really, in that situation, is a prayer of agreement. We're agreeing with you that you're healed. All right? But what a lot of people think, they're thinking, you know what? What they're going to do is if they get on enough prayer chains and they tell enough people, you know, now it's real easy. Just go online and tell people you're sick. You go to different ministry websites. Hey, please pray for me. Please add me to your prayer list and different things like that, you know. And what most of the time, what they do is they do all that and they sit back like this, waiting. Because the only person that's not actually praying is that person that needs the healing. That person that needs the blessing. And I'm not making fun of people. I'm just saying that's what we do a lot of times. But we have to understand that we have been given authority by the name of Jesus. And see, this woman with the issue of blood under the old covenant knew enough to say, you know what? If I just get to Jesus and if I just touch him. You know, we figure out later it was the hem of his garment, but he could have touched him anywhere, whether it was the top of his head. See, you know, sometimes we think because we see healing lines, well, the pastor has to touch me on top of the head. No, he doesn't. He can touch you on your shoulder. He can touch you wherever. You know, it doesn't matter. Laying on of hands, you know, is laying on of hands. Now, laying on hands doesn't mean you've hit somebody or whatever, you know, but you know, the thing about it is people, they get in their mind that it only works this way or only works that way. I know people, they get sick and, well, I can't wait till Sunday to come to church. You know, and you can get healed that way, but you know what? You know, you don't have to suffer for 4 days. Because you know what? I found that when you suffer, not only do you suffer, everybody else around about you suffer because you gripe and complain. Now, a lot of times, see, you know, and this is where we need to learn something. We need to do something about it when the sickness tries to come. Now, my grandfather said this many times. He would say that, you know, when he was alive, and he would say, he said the last headache I had was August of 1933. It's too late to start having headaches now. But then he would you know, put on this. He would say, but I passed up many marvelous opportunities to have one. Anyone heard him say that? I mean, he said it all the time. Now, if you ask him, well, you know, I call him Papa, but or Brother Hagin, and said, what's a marvelous opportunity? Then he would tell you, well, there are some times that, now he wouldn't even say the headache comes. He would say a symptom. See, with symptoms. See, symptoms leave. Symptoms come and symptoms leave. A symptom, my head would begin to hurt. But as soon as it would begin to hurt, as soon as that happened, I would take authority over it. I would say, no, you don't, Mr. Devil. You know, that's why he says, it's too late to start having headaches now. Why start today? You know, that's what the Bible says, kind of like this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have to understand the devil is there to still kill and destroy. The devil is there to irritate you. And that's what we don't really understand. The devil is here to irritate us, you know, and to kill us and to do whatever he can. You know, and all through life, you know, whether it's in cartoons, movies, or whatever, we see good versus evil, but that's real life. It's God versus the devil. You know, and it's been that way. And we, you know, anyone who's read the Bible and read Genesis understood it was that way in the Garden of Eden. And that's why some people, I'm trying to say this real nicely, some Christians are kind of foolish. Because a lot of Christians have the mentality and they get mad, you know, whenever sickness, you know, comes and tries to overtake them. And they're like, but doesn't he know that I'm a born-again Christian? Doesn't the devil know that? Yeah, but you understand, the Garden of Eden was the closest thing to heaven on the earth. And right in the middle of there, where God's perfect intention, the devil had a right to mess with man, and he did. And he destroyed mankind. So do you not think the same devil that messed with Adam and Eve is not going to mess with you? You know, I understand, you know, you don't get it sometimes that Adam and Eve, they actually talked with God on a daily basis. They were like tight with God. They were best buddies. But even at that, the devil tempted them. And what I want you to understand, as a Christian, the devil will tempt us, and that's what his job is to do. You know, sometimes we have to understand, you know, we all say, well, brother, you need to find out your purpose in life. But sometimes you need to realize what the devil's purpose in life is. His purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name, that demons have to tremble at the mention of his name. Do you understand? I mean, you know, sometimes we don't realize demons tremble. I mean, we're not talking about the boogeyman. We're talking about demons tremble at the sound of the name of Jesus. I mean that's pretty, you know, that's a pretty something special that we have. You know, but here's the deal, and you know, I don't think this woman here probably knew as much about the Bible as most of you. But she knew enough that if I could just touch Jesus, I'm going to be healed. She maybe couldn't quote scriptures. Of course, a lot of scriptures weren't even written. All right? She couldn't quote all the scriptures you might can quote. But what she could do is believe that if she touched Jesus' clothes, she will be healed. So shouldn't you be able to believe that? Knowing what you know, knowing what you've read, and knowing the Word of God, and I know many of you, you know, here have been saved a long time, haven't been in church a long time, you know the Word. But sometimes, do we really believe? Because if we believe, we're not looking for everybody else to pray for us, because we know what to do. And that's one of the things I preach on most, knowing what to do when the devil comes for you. All right? Knowing what to do. Knowing how to resist him. It's not that hard. It's not a hard thing. And I try to put it in an easy way. All we have to do is say, Mr. Devil, you may not. You know, when you're playing Red Rover with the devil, you say, Mr. Devil, you cannot come over. You know, and I mean, this is the way I do it, and this is the way my dad did it, so I learned from him. And I don't know if he's ever necessarily preached it. I've said it more times than I've heard him say it, but I don't know how many times I've been in my bed, been in my house, and say, devil, you have no right. You have no authority. In the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. I command you to take your sickness. I command you to take your disease. I command you to leave my body, to leave my family. You know, and sometimes, I mean, there's just been times where not necessarily I was sick, but I just really feeling, you know, irritated. You know, just really irritable. The devil is there to irritate you. He's there, you know, he wants to cause division between you know, and everybody else. And, you know, the thing about it is we got to resist the devil. But we got to know what we're resisting. We got to know the power that we have. But, you know, instead of trying to pray for your mountain, just speak to it. Calling things that are not as though they are. Acting like the Bible's true. Acting like, you know, that you understand. But, I mean, think about this dear woman. I mean, here she was. She wasn't even supposed to be out in public, but she did. Because she was out on a mission. And you know, and I believe that this was her last mission in life. This was a live or die mission. She's either going to touch his clothes or she's going to die trying. She was going to go do whatever it took. And I believe, you know, and I think we all know that there's nothing stronger than a determined woman. All right. I mean, you know, a determined woman, I've seen them do a lot of stuff that you wouldn't think that they could do. But, you know, this woman was determined. And so determined that, you know, and you have to understand the culture she lived in and, you know, and even the culture now, you know, in the Middle East, and that's why they've been, I mean, we hear all kinds of things about Sharia law and all that kind of stuff, you know, because they don't treat women very well. The man's the head of the home, and the man, you know, dominates the woman, and the man sometimes doesn't treat the woman right. And men don't look very kindly to be pushed aside by a woman. Especially whenever they're like, this is my place, I'm here first. You can't touch Jesus, I'm going to be the toucher. I don't want you, you're not getting through. And, you know, and I believe, I've heard some, there's some people give reasonings why he touched the hem of his garment. I you know, sounds good. But I personally believe, this is Craig's belief, you know, is that I think she was crawling on her hands and knees. I think she was, you know, because I don't think it was easy. I mean, probably, you know, I don't like to say this because, you know, probably some man knocked her over, told her she can't get through here, to go back to where she was. I believe she's crawling on her hands and knees. And, you know, but I've heard some other spiritual reasons, you know, why she touched him. But I personally don't believe that she went out to say, you know, I'm just going to touch the hem of his garment, because she said, if I just touched but his clothes. You know, we don't read earlier, it says, if I just touched the hem of his garment, if I just touched but his clothes. And I think that she was probably thinking that she was going to touch his shoulders, back, you know, somewhere up high. But you know what? It didn't matter what she touched. What matters is she did it. Now, here's something, too. I have found out, you know, when people, you know, are believing for their healing, a lot of times they get really close and just let it go. I mean, they're standing, all of a sudden, you know, something happens, they're like, I guess I'm not going to get healed. But, you know, this woman, I mean, you know, you realize if she would have stopped 5 feet short, we would never read it in the Bible. Now, this is something you got to think about. I think about this all the time. How many people were just like this lady, but they stopped 5 feet short? We never read about them. How many people almost got their healing? How many people almost got made well, but they didn't persevere? Man, I tell you, the Bible says, having done all, stand. It doesn't say anything else. It just says to stand.
And it's just standing on the promises of God. Man, just stand. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Man, but this woman, when she touched his clothes, immediately the power of God hit her and healed her. All right? And yes, it was the healing power of God, but it was her faith that activated that power by that touch. And when she touched his clothes, Jesus began looking around and said, "Somebody touch me." And his disciples like said, "No, duh, Jesus, everybody's touching you. People are touching you on your head, your feet, you know, they're around, you know, people trying to give you high fives, you know, people trying to shake your hand." He said, "No, it was a different touch." He knew that power had went out of him. He knew somebody had got healed. And he began to look around. See, now this is the difference between this woman and me. Because if I was that woman, you know, after going through all I've gone through for 12 years, spending everything I have and doing everything I can do, and all of a sudden I get to Jesus and I reach out my hand and I touch him and healing goes into me, I'd be jumping up and down, doing cartwheels, you know, running around, you know, yelling, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed," you know, I'd make a spectacle of myself, but I'm okay with embarrassing myself because I do it on a daily basis. I don't care. You know, that's just the way I am. I'm different than most people. Most people, you know, one of their worst fears is public speaking because they might embarrass themselves. I'm like, I'm going to speak in public and embarrass myself and be happy about it. You know, I say things all the time. I'm like, I don't know why I said that, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It's, you know, so, but I mean, you know, this woman, instead of jumping up and down, she began to cower down and you know, just was like hiding. Until Jesus, you know, found her, and then she says she told him the whole truth. You know, Jesus wouldn't have to ask me. I'd be telling the whole truth before anybody could ask. I'd be giving my testimony immediately. Because when I knew I got my immediate healing, I'd be giving my immediate testimony. You know, this woman was, you know, she was fearing and trembling. You know, she was fearing and trembling, knowing she was healed. I don't understand, but that's okay. It happened. That's whatever. But you know, Jesus looked around and told her. He didn't say his healing power healed him. He said your faith healed you. And I believe that's what we need to understand is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That it's still your faith that heals you. Now it is his power, but it's your faith that unlocks the power of God. Now, I want to continue to read because, you know, that was an awesome time. I mean, think about how awesome it is. This woman is healed. I mean, you know, all that she went through, she's healed. You know, and I believe probably people were rejoicing at that point in time. But I want to read, you know, we'll start with verse 30. It says, "And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me?' But he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" So, wonderful time. Everybody's probably cheering. I mean, I know I would be. If I was right there, I would be like, man, that is so cool. That is so cool, especially if I knew the whole story, especially if, you know, if I was from that town and knew that that woman had spent everything she had. You know, and you know, I would be thinking, you know what, that's really cool. You know, but I think that all the time. When I hear about people being healed, I'm like, you know, that's so cool. How good God is, how much He loves us. And this morning, actually, they played a testimony from Friday night. My mom and dad were in California, did a healing service, and this woman gave a testimony, and we videoed it, she said, you know, she had her hearing aids in her hand. She said, "I used to couldn't hear without hearing aids, but I don't need them anymore," which is awesome. I mean, you know, some of you might know people, or maybe you have hearing aids, and, you know, think about it. She didn't need them anymore. So that's so incredible. So people probably, you know, were really excited. But verse 35 says, "While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'" And, you know, from a father's perspective, I mean, think about that. I mean, one of the worst words you could ever have is "your child is dead." Your child is dead. I mean, I can't imagine the disappointment in this man's life. Because, you know, he was probably so excited because he met Jesus at, you know, right there by the sea when he got off the boat and said, Jesus, please, will you come pray for my daughter? And when Jesus said yes, I'm sure he was jumping on the inside thinking, this is awesome. But I'm sure as soon as he, you know, when he got the word his daughter is dead, he's thinking, you know what? What if the multitude were not around Jesus? What if he could walk faster? I don't know how far away he lived from where he was, but, you know, what if the woman hadn't stopped him? What if? But, you know, I can't imagine how the man felt. I mean, I don't want to ever have to imagine that for someone to tell, you know, you that your child is dead. You know, and think about, I mean, think about his thing, how excited he was a few minutes ago, knowing that Jesus was coming to heal his daughter. But then hearing the words, your daughter is dead. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. You know, there's a lot of times that you face situations and it seems like that there's no way out. But I want you to remember these words. Do not be afraid. See, the first thing is that fear will grip us and fear will cause us to lose our belief. Man, people get the news they have terminal cancer, fear begins to grip them. People, you know, because one of the worst fears in life is the fear of dying. You know, but Jesus said, you know what? I know you've got the worst news you ever could hear. But don't be afraid. Only believe. And, you know, I don't know how many times that I've even told myself the same words. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm just going to believe. Amen. The Bible says the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. All things are possible to him that believes. Yes, only believe. Yes, only believe. Yes. I mean, you know, but his daughter's dead. See, you know what? It doesn't matter how whatever the worst news is, understand you can believe. Amen. And you can receive. Yes. And so Jesus tried to, and I believe Jesus is saying that today to us. You know, and I believe that's one thing that will help us even when we face the worst news imaginable. You know, and I get it. I get it. You know, you want to just fall apart. But the main thing you can do is not be in fear and just believe God. You're like, but I might lose my house. Don't be in fear. Just believe God. But I don't know if I'm going to live. Don't be afraid. Just believe God. I mean, I always add to it, it's going to be okay. Because I know who I have with me. I know what Jesus has done for me. I know what the Bible says. I know what the word says. You know, my grandfather always says, he would say this, I'm a stickler for the word. God's word works. God's word worked for me, and God's word works for you. So you know what? If anyone else has got healed, I can too. And if nobody else has got healed, I can anyway, because I know. I mean, even if they're saying, well, you know what? No one's ever survived this. Well, there has to be a first at some point in time. Yeah. You know, we live in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, you know, when they say it's going to snow, it doesn't. When they say it's not going to snow, oh, there's only like a 20%, 15% chance of snow. That's when you're going to get a blizzard. You know, and I think about that all the time whenever I've heard people say, well, you know what? You know, there's a 35% chance you won't make it. You know, and so, you know, I mean, and you can think positive or negative. It's really up to you. It's really up to what you see, your thought life controls you at that point in time. See, Jesus was trying to get a hold of this guy's thought life. Yeah. And, you know, and that's why, you know, now we have the word. We have plenty, you know, that's why we need to know the word. My grandfather said the number one reason why people not get healed or their needs met is they don't know the word. If you know the word, when things come, the words come out. I mean, every time a situation happens, immediately the words comes out of my mouth. And I don't, you know, a lot of people, something bad happens, they begin to cuss and begin to get mad, we begin to complain. Me, I just speak the word. You know, because, you know, my faith is in God's word. My faith is in, it's in God alone. You know, in God I trust. Anyway, it says, You know, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of Jesus. You know, Jesus' favorite disciples. Because we all know that there was a big, you know, thing. Anyway, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. People were all upset. When he came in, he said to him, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Obviously, these people didn't know who Jesus was. You know, because we wouldn't think about ridiculing him, but you know, that the funny part about it is you wouldn't think about ridiculing him, then why don't you believe you're healed? Because I've had people say, well, you know, I think I got it. No, it's not you think you got it, you know you have it. Amen. Well, maybe. There's no maybe about it. You either get it or not. You just receive it. Well, how do you do it, Craig? Just believe. Only believe. Yeah, but you know, my blood pressure is still bad. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by those numbers. It's okay. I mean, you know, that's a market. You know, I get that. Doesn't matter whether test results say they're bad or not. I'm not moved by that. I understand that Jesus Christ died upon the cross. I understand he took the stripes on his back. I understand that by his stripes I was made well. I understand it belongs to me. I understand I got the card. And I'm invoking it today. Because, you know, you don't, nobody has a, you know, if you check, maybe you have checked the balance, but as long as you check the balance of the card, you have a $100 card, you wouldn't set it to the cashier and say, I just surely hope this works. I hope this works. I'm just a praying and believing that whenever I give this card to this lady or man, that it's going to actually, you know, the money's going to be there. You just check the balance. You know it's there. Yeah, but you know these computers, something might have happened. You know, whenever I went in the store, the Russians might have attacked Walmart servers, took all my money. Putin's such a bad guy. His name is Putin. That's bad enough. I mean, no wonder he's mad. Help me out. Would you like to live with the name Putin all your life? Anyway. I'm sorry. Too much knowledge. Anyway, they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, you know what? What he did was he got all unbelief out of the way. He only went in with the reason he took the three disciples he took, because he knew that they could believe. He knew that they would see this wrong. He wasn't sure about all his disciples, but he knew that these three guys would believe. And, you know, kicked everybody else out and said, you know, you guys hide and watch. And it says, you know, but when he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. I mean, think about this. I mean, this girl was 12 years old, and she was raised from the dead. But now think about this. Interesting, you know, we had 12 and 12 because the woman with issue of blood, you know, had it for 12 years, as long as this girl was alive. Kind of interesting. I don't know, you know. But, you know, I mean, think about the joy. I mean, that father had just a few minutes earlier heard the worst news ever. But think about the joy. Think about that joy now. You know what? I'm sure just so grateful to Jesus. But, you know, that same Jesus that healed that woman, the same Jesus that raised that child from the dead is the same Jesus that's there to help us during our time. He's there to heal us. And it's by our faith. Only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. Let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need healing, well, I don't care how, if it's just a flu, I don't care if you have cancer, I don't care if you have AIDS, I don't care if you have asthma, I don't care. Or maybe you've been dealing with something for a long time. It's time to get rid of that. So if you need healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. But when you come down here, I want you to come down here and expect, just like when that woman, I almost fell over there, that woman, when she touched Jesus, she expected to get healed. I want you to come with that same expectancy. I want you to come and expect to get healed. I want you to come and expect not to have to go through what you've been going through for anymore. I want you to expect. You can have what you expect. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just come on down here. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to spit on you. I'm probably not spit on you. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. All I am is the faucet he's using today. All right? One way, not the only way he heals is through the laying on of hands. When I lay my hands upon you, the power of God will flow into you to drive out whatever Satan's been trying, to drive out that sickness and disease from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You know, but it's not about what you feel. It's about what you know. I want you to know that when I lay my hands on you, I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't care what I say doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything. Because I want you to focus in on Jesus Christ and your healing. Jesus Christ and your healing. Don't think about, well, what if I fall? What if I don't fall? I don't care whether you fall or not. If you fall, we have people that will catch you. You will not hurt yourself, okay? I promise. All right? What I want you to do is once you get down here, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. Not you, because you have a daughter. You don't have to lift both hands, but the rest of you, lift both hands toward heaven. I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you, Father, as we lay hands upon them. We thank you, Father, right now for the healing power of God that shall flow into their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to pray for her? All right. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We command this body to be well. We command this body to be whole. We thank you, Father, for just touching her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you, Father, for just being there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be... That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it. Be healed now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In that's it right there. There it is. There it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name. There it is. That's it, John. That's it. That's it right there. The healing power of God is flowing through your body. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name. There it is, Rocky. That's it. That's it. That's it. Receive your healing now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name. That's it right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. In the name of Jesus. In the name. There it is. That's it right there. That's it. The power of God is all over you. It's all over you. It's all over you. Receive it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name. In the name of Jesus. Receive. Receive. There it is. There it is. Receive your healing now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the there it is right there. There it is right there. In the name. The name. The name. The name. The name. The name. There. That's it. That's it. That's it. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. 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 That's it right there. In the name of Jesus, receive. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, receive. Receive. Receive your healing now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name. That's it right there. That's it right there. The power of God's working. The power of God's working throughout your body. Receive your healing now. In the name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands. Let's just thank God. Father God, we just thank you for the healing power of God working in our body. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. Amen. What I want you to understand, that no matter whether you get it instantly or you get it as you go, understand the healing power of God's working in your body right now. Amen. Just keep believing. Amen. Keep believing. Keep believing. You know, some people say, well, wake up the next day and they'll say, well, I guess I didn't get it. No. You need to know the healing power of God's working in your body. The healing power of God, when hands were laid upon you approximately 7:30 on Sunday night, I was healed. And I'm walking in that now. Amen. Amen.